Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Praise the Lord, and God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Ministry Impossible, where your host is Minister Sharon Rambus. I'd like to thank God for you, for all of you that dialed into the show this evening. You have dialed into Ministry Impossible, where our show was based on the scripture found in Luke 18 and 27. And in it, you find that Jesus saying that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And our theme is, there is nothing too hard for God. Our mission is to empower and encourage God's people with the word of God. So you can dial into our broadcast every second Thursday and every fourth Saturday of each month from the time 6:30 p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Our next show dates are Saturday, July the 20th, and Thursday, August the 13th. And so this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. So no matter what may come your way, you should have a made-up mind, a purpose-filled mind, to rejoice and be glad. Because despite what it might look like, even despite what it may even feel like, God has been good to you. So we always like to start the show off with prayer, because the Bible says that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. It also says that men are to always pray and not faint. Prayer is a weapon, for the weapon of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. When we pray, I believe God listens. When we listen, I believe God speaks. And when we believe, I know that God works. May we pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being better to us than we have been to ourselves. We thank you for your peace, your protection, and your power. We thank you that we don't have to live under condemnation and the clouds of threat from the giants in our lives, the giants of sickness, the giants of lack, the giants of loneliness, the giants of oppression and depression. You have created us to be giant slayers, so we shall no longer be bound, but thank God we are free, free to love and live in the purpose and power in which you created us for. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this evening, I come to tell you that Jesus is real. So no matter where you are tonight, you might be riding along in your car. You might be listening from your home. You might be listening from a hospital room. Someone could be even in a convalescent home or even behind prison bars. Wherever you are tonight, Jesus is real. And he will save you if you just reach out and grab him by faith. For there is no other name under the heavens whereby men can be saved. For at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, that he is the King of kings, and that he is Lord of lords. And so there is a word from the Lord tonight, and it is found in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7. Second Kings, fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And so it reads, starting at verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be a slave." So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full one." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. When she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your son live on the rest." Just for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you this evening from the thought, "I've got a situation." May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for allowing us to come to another preacher moment. Now we ask that you will get the glory out of everything we say and do. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. And it is in your precious and holy Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So there will come times in our lives when we all will find ourselves somewhere between the joy of the morning and the darkness of the night. We all will have to deal with difficult dilemmas and sticky situations. We all got situations. I got a situation. You got a situation. We all have situations. We all have had times that we hope that our money would get infused with elastic and stretch to the end of the month. We will all have times when we must face life situations. And as life happens, it can present us with difficult situation. The loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, overworked and underpaid, a bad doctor's report, being lied on, being mistreated, being misunderstood. We all have to deal with life's situation. But I come to encourage you this evening, although you might be dealing with life situations, you don't have the audacity to give up. So don't disrespect God by giving in. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your wife. Don't give up on your husband. Don't give up on your health. Don't give up on your happiness. Don't give up on that business idea. Because God, he doesn't play by the same rules we play by. Some may be trying to figure out why you're dealing with the situation that you are. But while they're trying to figure it out, God is already working on your situation. You see, God specializes in helping those that are dealing with situations, those that are cast down and cast out, left out and left behind. He specializes in solving situations. So if you find yourself dealing with a difficult situation, you are in a good place. That is where we find the woman of our text. She has a situation. She is dealing with the situation. We see, we can learn a lot of things from her as she deals with her situation. The Bible says that she was married to one of the sons of the prophet, and he has died, which means that the provider and the protector for the family is gone. During the time of the text, the men were the sole provider and protector for the family. So there is no provider for her, and there is no protector for her. She's dealing with a situation. And not only that, but the text tells us that she has a debt collector calling and threatening. They threatening her not only to try to get her to pay the debt, but they threaten to take her children. So consider this. She is dealing with something that she did not cause. You see, her husband was the breadwinner of the family. He made the money. He made the choices on what to buy. He made the decisions on where to spend the money. He made the choices. She didn't have a say in the matter, but yet she is dealing with the aftermath of somebody else's choices and decisions. I wonder, is there anybody that can relate to this woman in our text? You too might find yourself dealing with some stuff that you did not call. You're dealing with some mess that you did not make. You're being threatened for things that you did not do. And so as we look at our text, the first thing I'd like to point out is that you have to give careful assessment to your current condition. You see, her husband has died, and she is left to raise her children alone. She has bills. The bill collectors are on their way to take her funds for the payment of the debt. So this first point helps us to evaluate our situation and to help us focus on the areas where we should direct our energy. Her husband has died. And see, this is a situation that she cannot change. The bill collectors are on their way, but they haven't got there yet. And so this situation, she can still do something about. See, when we give careful assessment to our current condition, we begin to see what it is that we can change and what it is that we cannot. When we find ourselves evaluating and contemplating a course of action or seeking direction or seeking first steps and next steps, is when we need to pray the prayer of serenity. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When you have a situation, now is not the time to waste time, energy, and effort on something that we cannot change. Now is not the time to be fidgeting with foolishness. Now is not the time to be working on walls when we need to build a bridge. See, life is fleeting and time is running out. So now is not the time to be playing around. Now is not the time, because I've got a situation. And so you have to give careful assessment to your current condition. The second point is you have to seek certified counsel. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to help yourself. See, we have to participate in our own deliverance and our own miracles, our own breakthroughs. In the 17th chapter of Luke, Jesus encountered 10 lepers on their way to Jerusalem. They cried out to him, "Master, have mercy on them." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show thyself to the priest." And the record is, as they went, they were cleansed. And so the woman in our text asks Elijah for some help. She tells him, "My husband, your prophet, is dead. He left me with a lot of bills, and they're on their way to take my boys for payment. Can you help me?" Elijah, being a certified counselor, he gives her a plan of action. You have to be careful who you seek counsel from. You got dream killers and glass ceiling builders. You have to be careful. She sought certified counsel from the man of God. Jeremiah 3 and 15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." This is key because this is one of the ways you can receive God's revelation. You can receive it from your man of God. You can't get God's revelation from crazy counsel. You know what I'm talking about. The people who you seek counsel from, and they always want you to pop off on somebody. Girl, I wouldn't put up with that if I was you. I would have left him a long time ago. Man, what happened? Get out while you can. He did not say to her, "Girl, if I was you, I would do so and so, and I would do this, and I would do that." He gave her a plan of action. And so he asked her, "Tell me, what do you have in your house? Is there anything of substance in your house?" Her first response is like many of us when we find ourselves dealing with a situation. She says, "I don't have nothing." Can you see her? Can you read her mind? I can hear her saying, "If I had something, I wouldn't have to come to you." Yeah, often we get an attitude when we are in need and ask someone for help. But quickly, she had an attitude adjustment. She adjusted her attitude and she answered, "I do have a jar of oil." And so just like her, I thank God that he always leave a remnant. The change in your ash in the ashtray of your car, a remnant. That $20 bill you found in a washing machine, and the pants you just washed, a remnant. That call you received from a family member returning a loan that you had wrote off years ago, a remnant. You see, God always leaves a remnant. So the third point is, you have to know how to involve your community. Verse 3 says, "Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few." So you have to do an evaluation of your inventory. And you have to do an evaluation of family and friends. What do you have? Who do you have? And so if I was to ask Bishop Hezekiah Walker this question, he would tell me, "I need you, and you need me. We are all a part of God's body." If I was to ask JJ from Good Times this question, he would say that he is a part of the awesome force, and they are tighter than pantyhose, two sizes small. If I was to ask this question to Miss Steely from The Color Purple, she would tell me that she has a sister named Nellie, who she would sing, "Me and you would never part." Who do you have in your community? Who do you have in your village? We all need somebody from time to time. We were created to be in community, not on an island, alone. Jesus built us to be in fellowship with one another. Genesis 2 and 18 says, "It's not good that man should be alone." And so community should be a place of encouragement, a place of refuge, a place of reprieve. Galatians 6 and 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, And so community should be a place where we lift each other up, where we learn from each other, and be the friend that each of us needs. You have to know how to involve your community, because sometimes while you're going through your situation, you have to shut some people out. You have to shut some doors. You have to tell some people it's not personal. I'm just working on something. And so Elijah tells her in verse 4, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your son. Then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. When you receive divine instruction, you don't have time for people's opinions. You don't have time for people's questions. I'm going to ask you the who and what and the when and where. You're working on something. God is giving you instruction. He's giving you direction to lead you out of your situation. And sometimes you have to just shut the front door. You have to do this because you have to stay focused on the task at hand so you won't get sidetracked, so you can experience your breakthrough, so that you can work the plan that has been given to you, so that you can follow the divine instruction, so that you can work your faith, because it's going to take faith to get to the other side of truth. You see, you may not see the end of your situation, but keep faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so my final point from this text, like to pull out, when you operate in faith, you can prepare to celebrate. Verse 6 and 7 says, now it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay the debt, and you and your son live on the rest. See, your faith can unlock the door of your situation. Your faith can unlock God's favor. Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for grace are you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God's grace is God's favor. God's favor has the power to change things. God's favor has the power to turn things around. God's favor has the power to deliver. God's favor has the power to protect. God's favor has the power to preserve us. God's favor has the power to heal us and to make us whole. And God's favor covers us. His favor takes care of all our needs. His favor was looking out for us even when we didn't know it. The Bible says God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's favor has a name, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, who God sent down through 40 and 2 generations. Jesus, who died on an old rugged cross. Jesus, who was buried in a borrowed tomb. Jesus, who God raised up in 3 days with all power in his hand. Jesus, who has the power to handle whatever situation you're facing today. And so, if you don't remember anything else from this sermon this evening, just remember that Jesus can handle it. Not only can he handle it, he'll remove any evidence. And soon your testimony will be that I don't look like what I've been through. You might be going through the storm and rain, but God will keep you protected from the elements. And so give your situation over to Jesus and let Jesus work it out for you. Because soon you'll find out while you're trying to figure it out, he has already worked it out. And so I'm glad that Jesus still works miracles and he's still making ways. I'm glad that Jesus still mends broken hearts. Jesus still heals the sick. And I'm glad that Jesus is bigger and greater than any problem or situation that you face. And so, people of God, tonight, Give your situation, give your problem, cast all your burden, your cares over to Jesus, because he cares for you. Because he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. So tonight, give it to Jesus because he loves you. Because although you got a situation, you got someone that is working on your behalf, someone that can help deliver you and help you deal with whatever you're going through. So God bless you tonight. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Yeah.